the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1097, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Lovely Land, Virginia is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, number one chart topper, Derek Miner.
What up, though?
And from Austin, Texas, author, speaker, and podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
Okay, well, we have a great show coming up. Brittany Moses is joining us. She's one of our favorite mental health experts. There's a narrative that we've been talking about in recent weeks. If you've listened to the conversations with several of these artists, KB, Anna Golden, several people have talked about the importance of mental health and counseling and how it's impacted their lives. We talked to Brittany about some practical stuff. We all know therapy's good. But what if you can't afford it? It's a luxury. What if you get the wrong type of counselor or therapist? We're talking to Brittany coming up about like kind of a 101 kind of next steps of like how we can actually start to implement this in our lives and fit it in our schedules and our budgets and do it the right way. So anyway, it's a very practical application conversation. Don't miss that. But that's coming up. But first, I got to tell you all some news, dear listeners. This is the last episode with Jamie Ivey, part of the regular cast here on the Relevant Podcast.
Oh, I'm going to get a little teary-eyed here.
It's at the end of an era, Jamie.
The end of an era.
She's not going away forever. She will pop in from time to time. She's given us a promise there. But
yes.
Jamie, tell everybody why you're needing to cut back on some of your commitments.
Well, first of all, I have to say this is... Every Wednesday, we record on Wednesdays, and every time I go home from the house and we do our little highs and lows, and every Wednesday, my favorite thing of the day is recording Relevant Podcasts. Mm. I love it so much. I laugh so much. I go home and tell my family all about the stories of what we talked about. And I have no responsibilities. It's all on Cameron and Emily. So I just get to show up and laugh. But I am going back to school. And so I'm wanting to go to school for a long time. And so, in fact, today that the show comes out is my very first day of classes at Denver Seminary. And so I'll be getting a master's degree, and I just knew that I needed to cut back somewhere and give myself some margin. I have two boys that are seniors this year, and I just needed some space. And so this was a hard decision, but a good decision. And I'm going to miss it so much.
We're going to miss you, absolutely, for sure. I am deeply affirming of the why, you know what I'm saying? The Bob Goff teaches that principle of like, he quits something every Thursday, and it's like, why, you know, like he writes about this in his books and stuff, but he really does do this. And he, it's a very common sense reason. He's like, we all fill up our lives. We're maxed out every day. And he's like, but we want God to do new things in our lives, but we're maxed out. So he's like, I quit something to create margin so that God can bring something new to fill that space. And that's how life evolves and progresses. And that's what you're doing right now. You're cutting back on things that were filling up your calendar to make room for God to do something new. And we're excited for you. So we're going to miss you, though.
Jamie, I'm assuming since it's seminary, it's theology related. But what is? Can you talk about the graduate degree you're pursuing?
I could totally talk about it. Listen, it's a master's of biblical arts and theology. I think that's what it's called.
Cool.
I'm not even 100% sure. I'm going through with the cohort. I'm super excited about it, and it'll be 3 years. And then I'll be done. And so in 3 years, my oldest son will graduate college. My daughter will graduate high school, and I will graduate from seminary if everybody keeps their, you know, their game face on and does school right. So it's kind of crazy season in the Ivy family.
Yeah. Well, congrats, man. Awesome. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was going to say, you know how you have like moments in your life that you can remember? Well, I think Jesse remembers every moment of his life, but like I don't have a very good memory. I remember where I was when Jesse called to ask if I wanted to join you guys full time on the cast. Mm. It was early COVID. I mean, early, like March COVID, because I'm walking around the grocery store with Jesse and my headphones. It's like the end of the world. People are getting toilet paper. And I literally walked that store like five times, just having the time of my life talking with Jesse. And I was so honored to be asked to be a part of this cast. And that was 3 years ago. And so it's been so fun.
It really has.
Well, at the end of the episode today, we have a game called A Very Relevant Happy Hour, which is a little bit Jamie Ivy themed. So
all right, let's go.
You don't want to miss that at the end of the show. All right, well, moving the show along. Stay tuned. Up next is Slices. You're listening to Joe P. The song is Don't Want to Love You. Clearly not R&B 90s sensation Joe, who would want to love you. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. All right, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right, well, I hope no one has made plans for this December. If they have, I suggest they cancel them. Because
other than celebrating the birth of our Savior,
I would put what you have planned for that on hold as well. Because our pop culture's good friend Billy McFarlane, who's fresh out of prison for various charges related to defrauding customers for the first Fire Fest that he held, the infamous music festival that has been immortalized with both a Netflix and Hulu documentary. He is now out of prison, and he has released a statement announcing to the world that Firefest 2 is coming soon. In fact, it's coming this December. Now, I watched his 1 minute video announcement to try to ascertain some details for this news item.
There are none.
There's very few. All we know is that he spent quite a bit of time in solitary confinement during his prison stint. But he put it to good use, according to him, a 50-page business plan for Firefest 2. Now, even though there are no details, and in the location right now is just ambiguously the Caribbean.
Love the Caribbean.
Yeah, so somewhere. No indication on what's involved with Firefest 2. According to the ticket pre-sales, he's already sold quite a number of tickets that range anywhere from a few hundred bucks all the way to 8,000. If you're interested in more, I would follow Billy McFarlane and see what's coming. Now,
Jesse, to clarify, you said December, but there's no date yet, and they're targeting the end of 2024. That's all we know.
Which is fast upon us, guys.
The end of 2024.
Oh, 2024.
I'm looking at the Fire Festival 2 pre-sale website, and it says Friday, December 6th, 2024, 12 noon.
New because as of 2 days ago they hadn't set a date yet, so that's great.
Either way, I usually plan out my early Decembers multiple years in advance, so obviously I've already marked this on the calendar and
I'm there.
Okay, but I have a question. Are there any production companies involved in this?
Has been announced. It is literally.
Is there going to be a Netflix series?
They're not even going to. They're not even telling you what you get for your $499 ticket versus your $8,000 ticket. They're not saying any details.
Why? Elon Musk does that all the time, and I still got a Tesla, so that sounds great to me.
People will just do it just because they want to be a part of it.
They just want to be a part of it. That's all it is.
I really hope. I sincerely hope that he's winging this, that he doesn't know
what's
involved.
When he was in solitary confinement, he wrote out a 50-page plan. That's what he's telling people.
Did he really go to solitary confinement, or was that a joke?
That's what he said.
He was in solitary, he wrote a 50-page plan.
Now, this isn't
what
a person
was he in
with
solitary
the,
for?
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't the person with the highest level of credibility, so I would take some of this with a grain of salt here. But I really hope there is no marketing plan. I hope he just woke up one day and was like, let's run this back. Let's run it back. What's the worst that could happen? You know?
I love
What's the worst?
Ja Rule hasn't recovered from his involvement. But
Ja Rule hasn't recovered from a lot of stuff.
Leave it at that.
He says, guys, this is your chance to get in. This is everything I've been working towards. Let's effing go. Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
We do not need to effing go.
I'm sold. I wish, I ain't gonna lie. He has 100 tickets for $100. I wish I had one of those tickets. Cause you know, by this time, 2024, y'all mark my word, those tickets are gonna be, it's gonna be a fever pitch for those tickets. They're gonna be like,
Cameron,
like 50,
you should send Derek
minutes.
as a media representative. Correspondent live on the ground.
I'm ready.
We'll get media passes like we do for the other music festivals.
Send me. I want to go. I want to go via media pass.
All right, let's go. Okay, what do you have, Jamie?
Okay, so I am going to be honest with you. There's a couple things happening in the world right now that I feel a little behind on. Number one is the Freedom movie. I knew what it was. I saw what it was. I saw all the money. I didn't know people were against it. And then this week, there is a new song by an unknown artist that goes to the top of the charts. And a lot of conservative people are really loving it. It's
going
viral.
Oh, big time.
It went viral. Is that what we should say?
Yeah.
All right, so a young man, a bushy red beard and a guitar in like the backwoods singing about like working all day and inflation and being kept in his place by inflation, high taxes and elites. He holds responsible the rich men north of Richmond. Here's a clip.
Living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have
What's crazy about this is like I saw it on TikTok and you know it's a catchy song. It's a good song. Obviously there's a lot of angst behind it and a lot of people connected with its message. But you know, it went number one on iTunes almost immediately. But then like days later, it was number one on every platform. Spotify, Amazon Music, Billboard Top 100, every chart. It was number one. I was at a birthday dinner with my parents who were in their 70s, and my mom was telling me about this song. And my mom sent it to my dad, and my dad was confused by the lyrics, but my mom really liked the lyrics. And I'm going, my mom only listens to like gospel and worship.
Right.
This song has cussing in it. I'm like, my mind was blown. This song
but it's
is
also
bringing
like
family
stick it to the man, right?
Yeah. It's very stick it to the man.
It is like, I think the only thing I can remember where instantaneously everyone just knew Oliver Anthony and Richmond, north of Richmond. This is the dress of songs. Do you remember like the afternoon, like
broke
the dress?
Internet.
It was like, is the dress blue or gold? Where all of a sudden one cultural artifact instantly permeates culture, like within the matter of hours. You know, I think this is one of those moments where
it's literally never happened. Like with the on the music side, this has never happened before. He's the first artist who's unsigned. He the first song that's like written by one person to do this. He has no label behind him. Like this has literally never happened
before.
So
is this from the soundtrack to the movie or because
no, this has nothing to do with the movie. Sorry, it's just there's two kind of conservative things coming up that people are getting behind.
Two kind of breakout conservative things. This movie,
Sound of Freedom is doing better than Indiana Jones right now.
Yeah.
Dude,
it's impossible.
It's crossed $175 million in the US. It's beat Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones, and
wasn't it crowdfunded too?
One of the other big ones. Yeah, it was Angel Studios. It's that model. People donated towards it and stuff. Yeah.
Hey, huge. Look, it is what it is. I haven't heard this song yet. I guess maybe I'm not tapped into the vein. They're not pushing it to me.
Derek, have you not been listening to a lot of conservative talk radio? They've been talking about it a lot.
Yeah,
I just didn't know if you missed those days.
I don't really be on it like that, so maybe it missed me.
It sort of has like Tyler Childers vibes a little, you know?
I like Tyler Childers.
I mean, I think thematically, there's definitely
when Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson are recommending songs, listen.
I'm out of here, bro.
That's where I go. I just listen to Tucker Carlson's playlist, his recommended songs. It's good stuff, man. I'm joking.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, it's a moment. My mom was like, she was like, the conservatives have a popular song. Like, One of Us is number one on the charts, you know, kind of a
but
thing.
But your mama listening to cussing?
I know.
Well, we can put the cussing aside when it's about sticking it to the men in Washington. We can let a few words pass.
Oh, okay.
That's acceptable.
Yeah. That's acceptable in those terms.
I know. Anyway. Educated, keeping Derek up on white people. I'm telling you, this is...
It's one of the services we provide on this show.
It's one of the services that I learn. You know?
We tell Jamie what's happening in pop culture. We tell Derek what's happening in white culture. It's great.
Listen, everyone, no matter how religious someone is, the only excusable use of profanity is when you're talking about the government. You know?
That's right.
And all that BS pay. I'm working overtime for some BS pay. That's what he said. Anyway. All right, what do you have, Derek?
So, you know, we talked about the awful situation with the Blind Side and Michael Orr and the TUIs. Well, they have decided to end their conservatorship for Michael 20 years later.
I was saying, he's like 38
years old. Did
y'all
talk about this last week?
We did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we talked about the lawsuit, but now we just found out that they've decided to in their conservatorship over this man 20
why did they
years later.
So. Keep it for 20 years. I could see why he was an 18-year-old.
That's why, because they running up a check. That's what it is. So, you know, I think this is one of the things where I'm like, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like, all right, appreciate it. But.
Like, thank you for doing the thing you should have done 20 years ago. Like, again, helping him get on his feet when he's 18, whatever, I don't know. They can't adopt him because he's a legal adult. I get the gray area there. But once he got drafted to the NFL and he's not coming home on college breaks anymore, you know what I mean? He's a full-grown adult. They should have dropped it then. Right.
I think I read that they were going to serve as his legal guardians until 25 or until the court dissolved it. And honestly, I feel like everyone, I don't know these people and I don't know what's happening, but it feels like maybe everyone was just living their lives. And all of a sudden he's like, I think I should look into this. Like he's not going to the NFL, right? So maybe he has some time on his hands. I bet you money, Jesse, has ownership at Dunkin' Donuts. Cause I know a lot of NFL players do. So he's probably at Dunkin' Donuts drinking some coffee. And I wonder if it was just kind of like, it's time for me to look into this. What's going on? I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't know. But like Derek said, like at least they're doing it now. They should have the thing they should have done a long time ago. But
it's like, I think.
Here's the thing. This is a very confusing situation.
White people are slow in making things right when they do things wrong to black people. They're very slow at making it right. Am I wrong, Derek?
Here's the thing.
I say it.
And this is a very confusing situation, and I don't really understand it. I think it needs a sequel to The Blind Side. It's a different tone. It's a very different tone, but it would get to the bottom.
It's more
of
like
stuff.
the Pelican Brief or like one of those like
a Grisham,
a Grisham legal
courtroom. I like it. You know, because I have no idea what's happening. I think I think we need to move. We need a new Michael Lewis book that will be adapted into a film. That's
you know this will be a Netflix documentary. This has to. Like
100%.
Yeah,
that's they're working overtime on that right now.
That's how Michael gonna get his money back if the TUIs don't beat him to it. If the TUIs don't beat
they're
him, just, to
they're
him,
both racing right now to call their agency.
Netflix,
yeah,
like yo, get Netflix on the phone.
Netflix is gonna have one. Hulu's gonna have one.
Oh, that's right. Like the Hillsong one. Yeah, the two competing.
I wish it came out that they were secretly working together to just create like the plot of a good documentary. You know,
that would be crazy.
They're playing all of us. All right. That'll do it for Slices. Make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Stay tuned. Up next, Brittany Moses joins us.
It's hot in New York and I can't get away from pain. I'm losing my nerves and you're losing the way again. I know it ain't true. The things we say and do to play cool. I can't.
You're listening to Malcolm Todd. The song is Hot in New York. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith, right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun, by Sister Monica Claire, is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Brittany Moses. She's a trusted counselor and friend of the show who's on a mission to make mental health care more accessible. Emily talked to her to discuss the basics of therapy and how you can access help regardless of your financial status. Here's part of our conversation with Brittany Moses.
I think maybe a good place to start is sort of figuring out terminology, because I feel like the term therapist and counselor and even psychologist are used interchangeably. So what is the difference between all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're very similar in terms of they have a very similar like educational and training track. They both use, you know, certain theories to explain human behavior. They have shared goals between the therapist and the client to try to reduce symptoms and really measure if there's a difference in what's working and what's not working. They're both trained professionals who apply techniques that can help with various, you know, mental, emotional, and behavioral issues, as well as the capability to diagnose. So there's a lot of overlap, but I would say if you're really getting to the nitty-gritty of the differences, counseling really is probably more brief. It's really looking at resolving the practicality of problems, maybe in day-to-day life. It might focus more on specific issues or short-term problems like managing stress or making a career decision. You might have seen different types of counselors, like school counselors, career counselors, substance and rehabilitation counselors, right? So they typically have the term LPC, you know, licensed professional counselor, or LMHC, licensed mental health counselor. However, this isn't a strict rule. They also can and do work with long treatment plans as well. So that's kind of the umbrella of counseling. And then there's psychotherapy or therapy, which tends to focus more on, I want to say, long-term, deeper chronic issues, chronic and complex life problems. So things like diving into past traumas, chronic mental health conditions like anxiety, depression, bipolar. Therapists often work with children, individuals, couples or families. They typically have, you'll see LMFT for licensed marriage and family therapist, or MFT. But you'll see a lot of, again, overlap between these positions. And then with psychologists, psychologists usually tend to have a PhD or a PsyD, where therapists and counselors tend to have master's degrees. So psychologists can and do work as therapists, but not only that. Many also go on to be researchers or professors and authors. So those are, I want to say, if you were to break down therapy, psychologist and counselor. And I think the other one I want to throw out is psychiatrist, right? Because people want to know who's the one that can like prescribe, you know, medication if you need it. That's typically the psychiatrist, because a psychiatrist is a medical doctor, an MD who specializes in psychiatry. So they've gone to medical school and they have training in like adolescent psychiatry or addiction psychiatry. And so they can diagnose and treat mental health conditions. They can also provide therapy, but some just focus primarily on medication management. So that's where your psychiatrist comes in. And often the two will work together. You may have a therapist and a psychiatrist, you know, and they work together as a part of your care team.
How does someone know, like, should they go to a therapist versus a counselor? Like, how do you determine that?
Yeah, you know what? I personally like to say just start somewhere, because both are going to be helpful. Both have similar trainings. And I think it's really going to come down to the therapeutic relationship, meaning how well you are doing with that therapist or counselor, how helpful they are for you, how that relationship's going, which does take some time to see if it's a good fit for you, you know. And you're always able to make the change if you need to find, you know, someone different. I know it's not that easy. I know sometimes it can be hard to locate a therapist, but that is an option. I think what's really important to point out is what research has found that makes counseling and therapy effective is really one, the therapeutic relationship. So how well you and that therapist kind of are a fit together and working together is a really big deal in a person's improvement, as well as how much hope you as the individual have in your treatment and in it working in your life and in it getting better. That actually plays about 15% of a role in how effective it is for you, as well as the techniques that therapists and counselors can apply. And actually, one of the most one of the biggest factors that is effective are actually extra therapeutic factors, which are things that happen outside of the therapy room, like how motivated people are to make changes, how open-minded they are to make changes, as well as like how severe problems are outside of the therapy room. So, you know, these are the things that are actually shown to be most effective. So I usually say start somewhere, because I think that if you get too wrapped up in, should I see a therapist? Should I see a counselor? Should I see a psychiatrist, you know, a psychiatrist or a psychologist? Like, which one should I see? That might actually hinder you from just taking a step forward and just opening that door to meeting with someone and getting that experience. And because it's likely going to be helpful in some way and beneficial in some way, either way. And then make the adjustments that you need down the road from there. But I would suggest starting somewhere.
You know, when someone does say, like, okay, I want to find a counselor, is there like a resource they can go to look for counselors in their area?
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked, because this is like a big deal for me, because me as a millennial, you know, who's living in this economy, I get it. Like, therapy is not always super accessible or easy to navigate. Especially, it's just like when you, like, I don't know, got off your parents' health insurance for the first time, and now you're trying to figure out how to find your doctor, your dentist, and then it's your therapist, yeah. Right? Like, it's all in that. And I say that as someone who is like in training and studied and in school for this and has studied this, like, it's hard. So I think I want to offer two routes. Like, first is how to look for a therapist. And then I think it'd be great to talk about, you know, some maybe low cost options that are more accessible. So typically when looking for a therapist, people will go through their insurance and their insurance directory to see, you know, what therapists are within their coverage. Usually there's like a website for your insurance directory or a number that you can call where you can maybe put in like your zip code and see what therapist is under your coverage nearest to you. And then you can start there by literally like cold calling or cold emailing and just letting them know you're interested. It's kind of like dating. It's so funny to me, but you know, and then, so that's one way to go. You can also go through directories like psychologytoday.com, where you can put in your zip code and find a therapist near you. And psychologytoday.com is pretty cool because you can filter for like either your insurance or for cost or for culture. Like if you want someone who is like within your cultural background or within your faith background. So there are some filter options there that are cool. So directories work. And then I would say for the more low cost options and the more accessible resources, there are great peer support groups. It's not therapy, but it is beneficial. There are people who are trained that help facilitate these groups. I was trained as a peer support group facilitator for NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which is one of the largest grassroots mental health organizations in the US. So they have peer support support groups that are great. Also, university counseling centers. If you are a student, a college student, many universities and colleges offer free or low-cost counseling services to their students. It's often a part of your student fees. Another low-cost option are graduate training clinics. So most of these clinics are at universities and colleges, which are therapists who are in training at the graduate level, and they're typically overcost and overseen by, you know, supervision, by professionally licensed supervision. Another great one is actually lowcosthelp.com. It's a national directory of affordable and sliding scale counseling services. And they're partnered with something called Open Path Psychotherapy, which is a nonprofit network of mental health professionals dedicated to like providing in-office mental health care at a really reduced rate for individuals, couples, children, families. So those are some options for therapeutic support. And then we have like the hotlines, you know, which are great for crisis situations, or even warm lines that we call them, where it's like you don't have to necessarily be suicidal or in a major crisis, but maybe you're just at your limit, you're at your peak, you know, and you need someone to talk to. And so, you know, there's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is now dialing just 988. And then there's the crisis text line. I've been a crisis certified crisis counselor. That's great. It's just an anonymous, free, non-judgmental option, 24/7 crisis support through text message. You can text HOME to 741-741 to connect with a crisis counselor at any time. So these are great lines to that you can count on kind of when you need someone at any moment, any time to just kind of debrief with.
That is so great. I feel like that was so many like wonderful resources. I did want to go back to something you sort of mentioned and I'd like to dig into. You know, you're talking about how therapists, some of them might not necessarily specialize, but they might have like the same faith background or the same culture background as you. Would you encourage someone to seek out a therapist who has that same background? Like what are the pros and cons to that?
Oh yeah. This is one of my favorite questions because I always get like, you know, if you're a Christian, should you only be seeing a Christian therapist? And certainly there are benefits to that. There are benefits to somebody who maybe already shares or understands the basis of your worldview. There might be a little bit less that you have to explain. And that's super helpful. I will say that all therapists are trained or supposed to be trained to be culturally competent and to have try to have some background and understanding on where people are coming from and to meet people where they are. So I think there is a fear sometimes in the faith community that if you go see a therapist who isn't Christian, they're going to try to kind of override your beliefs and like push this psychobabble jargon, new age, whatever, like onto you. And I have to say that's quite unethical. Like it is very highly stated yeah. as unethical. You cannot go in there and try to change someone's beliefs. You know, being a culturally competent therapist means you are meeting people where they are. You are trying to understand their worldview. What are the things that help them in their faith? And continuing to connect them to those resources, those faith-based resources in their own community as well. So that being said, I think I want people to think a little bit more critically about this, because even if your therapist, say, is a Christian, that doesn't mean that they believe everything that you believe. Like, and on the flip side, in therapy, we're also taught that even though we have a client that maybe shares the same faith as us, that doesn't mean that they believe everything that we believe, right? There is a vast spectrum of doctrine in the Christian faith, of even types of denominations, of even different worldviews, interpretations even of scripture along the spectrum of faith. So either way, like you're gonna have to get to know what it is that this person believes, you know, what it is that informs their faith, what it is that helps them, what it is that shapes their worldview. Either way. So yes, it is helpful, but whether you have a Christian therapist or not, either way, you're going to have someone whose goal is to meet you where you are, whose goal is to understand your worldview and to help that. I would say it is a red flag if there is someone who demeans that or kind of bypasses that or doesn't seem to care about that or is pushing something else on you, that is clearly against what you believe, that's something worth having a conversation with them about. But my philosophy is that, especially if someone's in crisis, it's just better to get help with someone who is trained than no help at all, right? Like if it's between waiting and locating a Christian therapist and just finding someone to get your foot in, to get you the help that you need so you can start finding relief, so that you can start functioning again, so you can start feeling better. I'd rather you just find someone who is trained, because again, the educational tracks are very similar.
That was Brittany Moses. Make sure to check out the rest of that conversation, as well as other resources on how you can take care of your mental health over at relevantmagazine.com. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's a very relevant happy hour. What if I told you I don't got no one? Who was I back when I was what you love? Somebody told me it couldn't be us. Been everywhere, I got nowhere to run. You're listening to Felly. The song is There's No Other.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, it is time. This is the last segment of Jamie being on the cast. We're going to have to update the show graphic and like Photoshop her out.
Just kind of put a big X through my picture for a while.
Never.
Well, dear listeners, tune in next time and we'll tell you who will be replacing Jamie in the cover, but we're not going to talk about that now. Today is a day for sadness.
I don't even know.
Nope. Y'all don't know. Anyway, okay, so we wanted to send her off in style and do a Jamie-themed game, a trivia game. You guys are going to have to... So the original concept that Emily and I talked about was we were going to do things like the concept of happy hour, happy Jamie, Austin, like themes of her life. And we would do a trivia game that we would all play. Okay. Emily wrote a Jamie Ivy trivia game. So
Emily.
Jamie, you can't play because you will. But you can tell the answers. You can say. All right, here we go. So this is mano a mano. This is mano a mano. Oh, Derek versus Jamie. All right, Jesse, terrible. You're up first. We're at first. This is what I told Emily I didn't want to do, because if we don't know the answers, then Jamie's going to get her feelings hurt.
I promise I won't.
Know. Yeah.
I'm a grown up.
All right, here we go. I'm Jesse, secure. You're up first.
I know all the answers.
Jamie Ivy is not only a co-host on the Rolling Podcast, but she also hosts her own podcast, The Happy Hour. And she's not the only Jamie to host a show. Which other famous Jamie is the host of Mythbusters? Is it Jamie Lee Curtis, Jamie Oliver, Jamie Heineman, or Jamie Kennedy?
I know the show well. A lot of Discovery Channel shows I know very well from the Oscars.biz days. Jamie Heineman, yeah.
Okay. Actually, I'm looking at the questions again, and Jamie is the beginning of every question, but they do go beyond Jamie.
Oh,
so, Jamie,
good.
You're playing too.
I'm in.
Derek, you're up now.
She's been mentored by her. This, I know who helped her write this.
Jamie Ivy is a current resident of Austin, Texas. What was the original name of Austin? Was it Houston, Stephenville, Texas City, or Waterloo? This is for Derek.
You know good and well I don't know this answer. What was the answer?
Texas City?
Can I guess?
Texas City, yes.
Go ahead and guess, Jamie.
I want to guess Waterloo.
It is Waterloo. Waterloo is the original name of Austin. There you go. All right, Jamie, you're up. Jamie Ivey spent an entire month last summer traveling through Italy. What are the official languages spoken in Italy? Is it Italian only, Italian and English, Italian and Spanish, or Italian, Spanish, and English? Official languages.
Official, I'm going to go with Italian.
That is correct. Okay. All right.
This is
right,
a Tyler Huckabee game, if I've ever heard one. I'm trying to tell
you. This is the student surpassing the master. All right. So it is now tied 1-1 between Jesse and Jamie. Here we go. Round two. Jesse, you're up. In 2014, Jamie Ivey started the Happy Hour podcast. Also in 2014, Pharrell released his hit song Happy. Which line is the current lyric from this song? Which line is the correct lyric from this song? Sorry. Clap along if you feel like happiness is what you want to do. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you know that happiness is your truth. Or clap along if you feel like dancing is what you got to do. What's the correct one?
I think it's the room without a roof.
That is correct.
Boom.
Right.
Boom.
You know you're Pharrell. All right. You're up, Derek. You don't
give it to the Virginia guy.
He's got Mythbusters in Virginia, man. Right, it's almost like I'm sandbagging it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not. I promise. Right, I'm just reading it in
middle.
Order.
Right down the middle.
Yeah. All right, Derek. Jamie Ivey was born on May 6th, but that's not the only day she can be celebrated. What day is National Jamie Day? Is it February 13th, July 2nd, October 9th, or December 16th?
And then y'all going to give me this. What was the...
February 13th.
I need to know this.
July 2nd. October 9th or December 16th?
Man, we just going to say December 16th. That's my birthday, so we just picked that.
You know what's crazy is National Jamie Day is the day her book is coming out, February 13th.
Are you serious?
February 13th is National Jamie Day.
Let's go.
That's
hilarious. That's crazy. All right, Jamie, you're up. Jamie Ivey is a proud Texan. And like every Texan, she knows the best food in the state. What is the official state snack of Texas? Brisket, chili, pecan pie, or chips and salsa?
Okay, she said snack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Official state snack. Like, nobody's getting a brisket sandwich for snack. I'm going to go with chips and salsa.
It is Texas. Chips and salsa is correct.
Yes. I really wish it was a full meal, was a snack in Texas.
That would be brisket. Amazing.
It's brisket, chili, and pecan pie with chips and salsa.
T-bone ribeye. Yeah. T-bone ribeye for my midnight snack.
Yeah. All right, round three, points go to three. So it's 2-2-0, but it's anybody's game because these are all worth 3 points each.
All right,
Jesse, you're up. Here we go. Jamie Ivey has lived in Austin, the state's capital. Jamie Ivey has lived in Austin, Texas, the state's capital. What else is Austin known as? Is it the queso capital of Texas, the bat capital of America, the tech capital of the South, or the cleanest city in Texas?
I mean, I think all of them could apply, but I think there's a bridge there that has a significant amount of bats that come out. I'm going to go with the bat thing.
The bat capital of America is correct.
Y'all, yep. Bat Fest is coming up if you want to come to town.
Cool.
You stand on this bridge, Derek. You stand on this bridge, South Congress, and at like dusk, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of bats come out.
Why? Do they do
it? It's what every tourist has to do at least once when you come to Austin. I've done it once.
No, I'm saying, why do the bats come out? Are they afraid? Or are they just like...
No, they come out at night to feed. So they sleep under this bridge and they migrate here. So they're not here all year. I'm sure they give lots of lessons.
That's
at
when
Bat
I would
Fest.
Leave town. I would.
I'm straight.
Yeah,
I'm cool.
All right, Derek. Over the years, Jamie Ivey has shared about the unique experiences of living in Texas. Which famous Texas event features a greased pig chasing competition? Is it the Texas State Fair, the South by Music Festival, the Houston Rodeo, or the Pecan Festival? Greased pig chasing competition.
Man, I'm going to go with the state fair. That sounds like a state fair situation.
The Pecan Festival is the correct answer.
The Pecan Festival has that? That's here in Austin.
Grease pig chasing. Yeah, you can go enjoy it. Jamie Ivey. Jamie, you're up. Jamie Ivey is the author of numerous books, including You Be You and If Only You Knew. What other famous Jamie wrote the children's book Me, Myselfie, and I? Is it Jamie Foxx, Jamie Dornan, Jamie Lynn Spears, or Jamie Lee Curtis?
I think Jamie Lee Curtis wrote that.
She writes children's books. That's correct. There you go. Oh. All right. Last round. Here we go. sad music and start cueing, because the sad, you know, it'll just start slowly building for the next 2 minutes. Jesse, Jamie Ivey hosts The Happy Hour, which is available to listen to in all countries. But what country has made real life happy hours illegal? Is it England? Illegal. England, France, Ireland, or Portugal?
What a terrible country.
What, all of these are drinking countries too. This all shocks me.
I know.
And why would they make it illegal? Just discounting drinks is illegal? Like, it's weird. Anyway,
I don't know. I'm very close with a lot of French families, and from my experience, they enjoy happy hours. The Portuguese have always struck me as very cool people. I'm going to go England for some reason. It seems like they have a lot of arbitrary laws. It seems like tyranny is a big theme of their country. I'm going to go with England.
Mm-hmm. Ireland is the correct answer. That's the last one I would have expected.
That's crazy.
You know what? I bet it's because too much drunkenness was happening, and so the country had to
I gotta look into this. Something's fishy about this.
I don't mean to disparage all Irish people as y'all being a bunch of lushes, but
there's a lot of drinking there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The government has to say, chill out, everybody. You know,
it's lit.
All right, here we go. Before Jamie Ivey was a podcaster, author, and speaker, she worked as a teacher for many years. She's not the only famous Jamie to make a career change. What did Jamie Oliver, the famous chef, do before he became a renowned chef? Was he a teacher, musician, a sales rep, or a writer? Jamie Oliver.
I'm going sales rep.
He was a musician.
Oh, wow.
Of course. Everybody's a musician.
All right, Jamie, last one. You can win it if you get this right. Here we go. 22 years ago, you married your husband, Aaron Ivey. How many types of ivy plants are in existence in the world? Is it 6, 12, 15, or 25?
I gotta be honest, every one of these seems very low.
How many types of ivy plants?
I think there's a lot, so I'm gonna go with 25.
15 is the correct answer.
Oh, man. Right. There's no way that's right. Emily made the last three up that whole round.
The whole Ireland and the ivy thing.
That was hilarious.
That's funny.
Good job, Emily.
Well, that'll do it for a very relevant happy hour. Jamie, we just want to say thank you. And I know you're going to come back and we'll catch up from time to time, but we are so grateful for you being committed to this show with your everything you have going on. And it's you've brought such a cool dimension to it. And we're going to
miss you. I've loved it every minute.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to again thank Brittany Moses for joining us. Make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com for more info on how you can take care of your mental health and for more of that conversation that we had with her. Also, while you're at the site, make sure to check out the last couple weeks of our summer issue of Relevant. We have fantastic conversations with the likes of Lauren Daigle, who's on the cover, Christine Kane, Naomi Rain, Judah and Chelsea Smith, Arizona, and a lot more. It's available for free. Just click on the magazine tab over at relevantmagazine.com. Also, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It's the best way to experience our content enhanced and ad-free. All the information is right there at the website. Plans start as low as $2.50 a month. You get unlimited ad-free reading and listening. It's the best way to experience our content, like I said, and we'd love the support. Think you like it. Also, we are hiring. Now, we've gotten a lot of applications, and I apologize we haven't gotten back to everybody yet. But before we buckle down and make the decision here in the coming weeks, if you're good at podcast editing or video, social media, content creation, project management, sales, we'd love to hear from you. All the information about our openings is available at relevantmediagroup.com. You can fill out an application right there, and we will go through them all. I promise. On that note, we will wrap things up. I'm Cameron Stray.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
For the last time.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
It's at the end of an era, Jamie.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.